Find, if you would, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24 will be our text. I would also invite you to find 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will be an important text as we will make our way there in just a little bit. But Matthew chapter 24, as we are continuing our study through this book, as Jesus Christ is being exalted as the King, not only of the nation of Israel primarily here, but one day as the exalted King of all the universe and the King of kings and Lord of lords. I'll begin my reading in chapter 24 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Verse number 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Three powerful questions. Three questions that are asked by these disciples that really and truthfully have set off what I will call shock waves from the time that they were asked and the time that they were answered until the day in which you and I live. Bible students know that Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 are referred to as something called the Olivet Discourse. They're called the Olivet Discourse because these are the teachings of the Lord from the Mount of Olives. And in these two chapters, the Lord Jesus is answering questions that deal with the end of the world. I don't know any question that arrests people's attention or has been more thrilling, exciting, yea, controversial than questions that would be about the end of the world. I don't know how many books have been written about the end of the world. I know that there are movies and shows and theaters and plays and such that deal with the end of the world. Some people like to think about the end of the world. Some people don't want to think about the end of the world. That phrase, the end of the world, either scares you or it secures you. It's powerful questions. Probably there is not a passage of Scripture above Matthew 24 and 25 that has been more grossly misinterpreted than these chapters. Probably has there been no greater attack on the doctrine of what we would call pre-tribulation than what has been come from the twisting of these two chapters. Now, don't lose me. You don't come here not to think. I want us all to say the word pre-tribulation on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation is a doctrine found in the Word of God. It is a doctrine that is viciously being attacked from outside the church and now from within the church. There used to be a day that you would never find a Baptist church that would waver on the doctrine of pre-tribulation. But now you find that it is even crept into our Baptist churches. Pastor, what is the doctrine of pre-tribulation? The doctrine of pre-tribulation is a doctrine that states that the church, by the way, if you're part of the church, say amen.
Amen.
That the church will be raptured out of this world, caught away to go to be with the Lord in heaven before the tribulation period starts upon the earth. Before the rapture, tribulation. We also believe in a doctrine called premillennialism. Premillennialism means that the tribulation will happen prior to the millennium. There are some people that want to teach that we are working to bring the kingdom of God in. If you ever hear somebody talk about ushering in the kingdom, you know you have met somebody that does not believe in pre-tribulation or premillennialism. We will not usher in the kingdom. Jesus will bring the kingdom with him. Okay? Pastor, why is it important that we understand these things? It's important that we understand these things, especially as believers, because it enables us, number one, to purify ourselves. Listen, at any moment, the Lord Jesus could rapture us home. At any moment, the day could not end, and Jesus could call us up him with a voice, and a shout, and a trump of the archangel, and we could go to be with the Lord. The second thing that does is that that enables us to make sure that our behavior is obedient and humble and holy living. And the second reason is our security in Christ. Now, I don't know, because I haven't been around as long as some of you, but as I read church history and as I remember as a kid, to me, it seems like the church is less strong and stable today and secure upon the Word of God, and that we are just as afraid as the outside world. There's no stability to the church anymore. Anymore, we're being blown about with every wind of doctrine, every new thing, every fad, whatever happens. If somebody writes a book, this is the direction we're going to go. But I got news for you. Fads change, books get redone, but the Word of God is eternal. Amen? And so it is imperative that we learn from the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 24, these three questions in verse number 3 are asked specifically by Jesus' disciples. They are asked specifically by Jewish men, and they are asked specifically about the Jewish nation and the Jewish Messiah and the Jewish establishment of the end of the age. The chapter deals with the Lord Jesus's response to the Jew. Now, for our Bible students out there, at the end of the chapter, I do believe that you will find some application to the church. I think you will find the rapture mentioned in the latter half of that. But for today's lesson, and all the way through down to verse number 31, Jesus is specifically addressing the Jewish people and their nation. If you try to incorporate in this the church, you're going to have a problem. It's impossible to do. So they ask three questions. The first question is, when shall these things be? Now, he had rocked their world with two statements. Look, if you would, at verse number 39 of chapter number 23. Remember what we learned last week when Jesus said, "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say," and let's read that verse together, the end of it, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, that verse was the Lord Jesus' final rejection of the nation of Israel. He had come to present himself as their king. They had rejected him. Therefore, they had rejected the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus, in verse number 39, says to the nation of Israel, "You're not going to see me again until you see me in my next triumphal entry." Now, we have a Sunday that we celebrate called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is when we remember the Lord Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, where they laid down their coats, their garments, and they laid down their palm branches. And the Lord Jesus is entering in the city of Jerusalem. And he's entering in that city not to set up the kingdom, but he's entering that city to die on the cross for the sin of the world. When Jesus comes into the city in chapter 21 of Matthew, he meets a people that give him momentarily praise, but then he meets a people that reject him in unbelief. They said, "Hosanna, blessed be he that come in the name of the Lord." But they never received him by faith in their heart, and they met him with unbelief. And then just a few days later, they would say, "Crucify him, give us Barabbas. We have no king but Caesar." Jesus said to the nation, "You're not going to see me again until you see me coming. And when you see me coming in the name of the Lord," there will be another triumphal entry by the Lord Jesus into the city. When he comes into the city of Jerusalem this time, it's in the future. This is prophetic. It will be at the end of the tribulation period. It will be at that time when the Jewish nation is about to be destroyed and annihilated. And the Bible says that at that moment, they will look up into the sky. I will show you in a moment the sign that they will be given. And they will see the one that they pierced. They will see the one that they rejected. And they will see the Lord Jesus. And this time, instead of meeting him with unbelief, this time the whole nation as one man in a day will receive him by faith. He will come as their great victor. They will submit to him through faith, and they will shout, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And there will be a bloodbath in the valley of Megiddo. We'll talk about this in just a minute. And Israel as a nation will be redeemed in that day. Okay. Now, the second time he had blown their mind is he told them about their temple that was going to be destroyed. And Titus destroyed that temple in AD 70. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 21. The last two questions that they want to know: what shall be the sign of thy coming? Okay, in verse number 39, if you're going to come in the name of the Lord, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And then the second answer, or the second or the third question that they ask is, and what will be the sign of the end of the world? Now, you need to understand what that Greek word "world" is. That Greek word "world" is not talking about the dirt and the atoms of this world. It's the word that deals with the age. When will be the end of the age, or a time period? Now, so you can understand, this is a little bit of groundwork, but it's not too deep. Remember, if you've been with me for the book of Matthew, we said that in Matthew chapter 13, when those kingdom parables came in, when Jesus came on the scene and Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and they rejected that, the kingdom now went underground. And the Bible teaches something called dispensations. The Bible teaches something called different ages. You and I now live in the age of grace. Say it out loud. The age of grace. We live in the church age. Okay? Now, the Old Testament prophets knew nothing about the church age. They all write about the kingdom, but the Bible said that the church age was a mystery to them. So when the disciples ask a question, what is going to be the end of the age or the end of the world? Jesus gives them an answer from verses 4 all the way down to verse number 14. And he describes the course of this age from the moment that they are there until another moment. Now, we said that the church age or the Christendom went from two pillars. It began with the rejection of Christ as a nation, and it goes to the receiving of Christ as a nation. What nation are we talking about? Jews. So, kingdom or the mystery time goes from the rejection of Christ to the reception of Christ. They rejected him and crucified him. One day at the end of the tribulation period, there will be a reception of the Lord Jesus, and they will fall on their face, lift up their hands, and they will receive him as a nation by faith, and he will redeem them. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 to 14, Jesus gives a description of the age that culminates with the reception of the Lord Jesus. Now look at the pastor. He gives this description from the Jews' perspective. They're the ones asking the question. In this answer is your life. In this answer is our church. It's imperative that you understand this. So Jesus begins in verse number 4. And he answers the question of the end of the world first. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what, class? Deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not what? Troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is what? Not yet. Verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the what? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on in our world right now, because the church is being lied to and the church is being fleeced by so-called spiritual men that are writing non-spiritual books. So they're going to write books and they're going to make movies and they're going to say things about the end of the world. So we've got Ebola. The end of the world is near. Or we have war everywhere we look. Well, the end of the world must be near. Oh, and so something happens. You have 9/11, and so they begin to write books about the end of the world. Or, God forbid, some big earthquake happen and destroy some facet of our society. The end of the world. Jesus said, don't be deceived. Those things aren't the end of the world. What are you talking about? Don't be deceived by wars and pestilence and famine. All these things must come to pass. That's the natural progression of a sin-cursed world. But we've got people, tell me you're not buying books on the end of the world. Tell me you're not a doomsday prepper. Jesus said, these things are going to happen, but it's not the end of the world. If we were to have a World War III right now, I guarantee you every Christian publication in the world, somebody would put out books and you would buy them. And they would make billions telling you it's the end of the world. Well, I got news for you. I got a free Bible and Jesus said, don't believe them. It's not the end of the world. So do we believe them or do we believe Jesus? Matter of fact, Jesus said, why are you so troubled when you hear about a war? Are you afraid of a world war? I don't want to go to war. Are you afraid of Ebola? Are you afraid of some national pestilence? Are you afraid that everything is going to be destroyed and only Tom Cruise can save us in a Mission Impossible? My wife might like that, but I don't think I would like that. Jesus said, now, fellas, these things must come to pass, but look at verse number 6. But the end is not what? Yet. Now, stay with me. He's talking to who? Jews, disciples. He's answering questions about the Jewish nation. He's telling them about the course of the age. And he's saying to the Jews, now listen, this is going to happen. Don't be troubled. Verse number 9 amps it up. Verse number 9 begins with the word then. Then there's a change. At some moment, this thing gets amped up. And I believe now we're talking about the middle of the tribulation. Then shall they deliver you. That you is Israel. You may want to circle it and write the word Israel beside that. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Not you, church. He's talking to Israel. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and deceive. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be, what's that word? Saved. That's not talking about gospel salvation. That's talking about national deliverance. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then, say it out loud, shall the end come. Well, Pastor, I bought a book and it said that because of the economy and because of whatever, now the end is coming. Well, I got a book that's greater than any book ever written by man. And Jesus said, whoa, you're all troubled about that. Those things are going to come to pass. Don't be troubled about that. You want to know when the end of the age is going to happen? The end of the age is going to happen when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. Now, don't freak out on that statement. So Jesus takes from 9 to 14 and he tells of an event that will happen in the future. I submit to you, and I'm going to show you in just a moment, these events cannot happen while you're on the earth. Now, all the time that I'm studying this, I kept coming over to one phrase. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. So what happens in the tribulation period is that as soon as the church is raptured out, there will be a peace treaty done with the Antichrist. For 3.5 years, he will embark that peace treaty. Russia tries to invade, and the Antichrist and his fellows, they destroy Russia. Russia learns a valuable lesson here. By the way, keep your eye on Russia and how they're growing. They're a major player in the end times. At the end of 3.5 years, something happens, I'll show it to you in a moment, that turns a switch of anti-Semitism that has never been known on the earth before. Something happens that begins to make the earth just convulse, to where the Bible says that the earthquakes destroy populations and pestilences kill a third of the people and war breaks out and there will be annihilation and bloodshed and death everywhere upon the earth, led by that Antichrist. Now, Jesus is specifically talking here about the Jews. He says, now then the switch will turn and they're going to kill you and they're going to do this. He said, now if you can endure to the end as a nation, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered. But the end doesn't come until the gospel has been preached. Now, most people want to bring the church in here and say that we're going to go through this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I will prove to you that we cannot. It's impossible for that to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul's writing here. He's writing to a group of people who are confused about the end times, confused about the propheticness of what happened. Verse number 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, what are those two words? Be revealed. You should underline those. The son of perdition, this is a reference to the Antichrist. He opposeth and exalteth himself, verse number 4, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. That will be the temple that is erected and will be working during the tribulation period for the nation of Israel, showing himself that he is God. Now Paul says, remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know, what's that next word? What? Circle the word what and write the word church beside that. And now ye know what withholdeth that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed. Say those last three words. In his time. Now, Paul says to these people, calm down, you're all shook up. They thought they had missed the rapture. They thought certain things were happening. And Paul says, now listen. That man of sin, that man of perdition, cannot be revealed until the appointed time. And Paul says, there is a force moving in our lives that is withholding the advance of the Antichrist. And that force, my friend, is the church of Jesus Christ. This world has no idea the evil that is restrained upon it because of the church. Paul says, now, he who's restraining or withholding is withholding the spirit of Antichrist. And he's not letting the Antichrist reveal himself until the appointed time. It keeps going on in verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already what? Work. So Paul says, now listen, in the age and in the day in which you and I live in, the mystery of iniquity is working. He's manipulating. He's lining things up. He's creating what he can create. And he's doing all of this stuff and he's working, but he's being restrained. He's being withheld. He does not have the ability to abound on this earth. There's something withholding him. Verse number 7. Only he who, circle that word who, right beside that word, the Holy Spirit. The first word was what in the church. The second word is who in the Holy Spirit. Only he who now letteth, will let, until he be, say those words, taken out of the way. Now watch what happens when the one who is restraining is taken out of the way. Verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Praise Jesus, there's no God like Jehovah. And with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Paul says, now listen, there is the spirit of Antichrist that is already moving on the earth. And he would love to advance himself and establish himself, but he's being restrained, and he's being restrained by the Bible-believing, saved, born-again child of God. If that you say, amen. And that wicked man cannot even be revealed until he who letteth has been taken out of the way. That word taken carries with it the idea of being snatched. That word taken is the idea of being caught away. There's coming a day, my friend, when Jesus Christ himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. The rapture has to happen before the tribulation, and praise his holy name. It's impossible the other way. So what are y'all worried about? Before Y2K, a millionaire in my dad's church in Michigan took all his money and he bought gold. And he put it in 5-gallon buckets. It took a semi to get the gold out. And he buried buckets of gold all over his property up in Michigan. They used to refer to it as the soup, bullion soup. And he was so worried that he would go broke at Y2K. So he put all his money in this gold. And so he stayed up till midnight and he watched the clock go like this. And then it went like this. And then it went like this. I got news for you. The same Jesus prior to Y2K is the same Jesus after Y2K. And he died. And his ex-wife met a man. And he said, hey, where's all that gold? And they dug up all his gold. And they lived happily ever after. Come back to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says there's a turn there. Verse number 14 is an important verse. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Now, you and I do not preach the same emphasis as the gospel of the kingdom. We preach today the gospel of grace. If you're grateful for the gospel of grace, say amen. Okay, now listen. The Bible's dispensational. So you come. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the nation. The nation said, forget you. So Jesus then had that period called the church age. Now, I don't preach to you the emphasis of the gospel of the kingdom. I don't know when the kingdom's going to be set up, but I know this. I can preach to you the gospel of grace, and the power of God unto salvation will transform your life. But the gospel of the kingdom must be received by faith. The gospel of grace must be received by faith. It's not two gospels, it's one gospel, but it has different emphasis. So in the tribulation period, after the church and the gospel of grace, we've been raptured out, there will be two witnesses, and there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are burning with the power of God. And they will go around and they will preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world at that time. Now, let me hit a couple of errors. Some people think, well, we're going to usher in the Jesus back as soon as we preach the gospel to the whole world. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about Israel. Go to Acts chapter 2 on your own study, and you will find that at Pentecost, the gospel was already preached to the whole world. It's not God's fault that there's people in the jungle that don't have the gospel. It's not God's fault that there's people in our world that don't have the gospel. At Pentecost, the gospel was preached, the Bible says, to every nation under heaven. It's not God's fault that the ball got dropped. It's the church's fault that the ball got dropped. So God's already preached the gospel to every nation. In the kingdom, they will go around and they will preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world. And you will either receive it or you will reject it. How will they receive it or reject it? Well, they will either receive by faith or they will reject it by receiving the mark of the beast. Now, I will tell you one thing. I wouldn't let anybody put a chip in me. You, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Be careful about what you let them do. Let them put it in your dog. It's a demon anyway. But don't put it in you. Okay? So these evangelists are going to go and they're going to preach. And Jesus said, now when they're done preaching and everybody there's had an opportunity, look at the end of verse number 14. Then shall the end of the age come. So the people that are telling you to look for a great earthquake, or the people that are telling you that we're going to go through some Ebola or some disease or pestilence, it's going to be the end of the world, would you please just believe the word of God? Could I get an amen on that? Our church needs to be settled, secure in the Lord. Now, what he does in verse number 15 is look at those first couple of words. When ye therefore, now whenever you've got a therefore, you've got to go back and see what it was there for. Jesus now goes back into verses 9 and 14 and he gives a specific description of what they should be looking for. When ye therefore, he's talking to Israel, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. You're nursing a baby. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, Israel's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, what are those three words, class? Believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you, verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the, what's that word? Lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, let me walk you through these verses and we'll be done. I can't go any further. Lord, when will these things be? What's the sign of thy coming? And when is the end of the age or the end of the world? Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what. The end of the world is not because you have a world war or you got Ebola or you got an earthquake or you got a pestilence or you got a problem. Those things are going to happen. Don't be troubled by those. They must come to pass. There will be a time when the anti-Semitism will be unleashed from a demonic point of view and they're going to kill you and destroy you as a people. Let me just say right here a second. The Jewish people have no greater friend than a born-again child of God. If you have anti-Semitism in your heart, there is no way you can love the Jesus of this Bible. I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. The last thing you ever want to do is curse the Jewish people. He said, now, the end is going to be in that tribulation period when the gospel has been preached, the gospel of the kingdom. Then shall the end be. He's going to give them a sign to look for that. He says, but let me tell you now what's going to happen. He said, really what you're looking for is that setup of that abomination of the desolation. That's a reference to the Antichrist. Daniel said in chapter 9 and chapter 12, that at 3.5 years into that tribulational reign, the Antichrist will walk into that temple that the Jews have. He will destroy everything in that temple that deals with righteousness. And he will either by a statue or himself, he will take the position of God in that temple. At that moment and at that time, the Jewish nation will understand they made a deal with the devil and it's time to dance. And Jesus said, When you see that abomination go in there, don't even go put your clothes on. If you're in the house, run. If you're in the field, run. If you're pregnant, God help you. If you're nursing, God help you. If it's in the winter, you better pray that it's not in the winter. Whatever it is, run. I believe that they'll run to the Caesarea rock up there. I might be able to prove that to you as we come here. The Bible talks about a secret place that they will be. And Jesus said, don't look back. He said, now you're going to hear things. And there's going to be such a turn because people will want to survive. And the only way they're going to get food, water, energy, whatever, is by the Antichrist. And so they're going to sell you out. And you're going to hear these rumors that I'm in the field. So come over here. Messiah has already come back. Come meet him. Don't go. Don't listen to him. Don't go there. I'm telling you, that's not my sign. If you go over there, they're going to kill you. Don't tell them that I'm in the wilderness and go over there. Pay attention. Run. Trust nobody. What a hell that will be to the nation of Israel. And Jesus said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, even so comes the Son of Man. Now when you cross-reference that verse with Zechariah, with Revelation. Matter of fact, when you look at verse number 28, it says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. What is going to happen? Once the church is raptured out, iniquity will abound upon the earth. There will be no restraining. God help you, Gentile. If you're on the earth at that time, if you're sitting right here and you've heard the gospel preached and you have rejected Jesus Christ, I believe from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's no hope for you. The Bible says you will believe a lie, there will be strong delusion, and you will be damned who believed not the truth. I'm glad I've believed the truth. How about you? So when the church is raptured, you're going to be sitting here. Well, Pastor, if the church raptured, I'd drop right to my knees and I would pray. No, you won't. If you won't do it now, you won't do it then. You don't get saved by fear. You get saved by your will. Be no hope for you. You'll go through it. There will be a peace deal. You'll know it. It'll be signed with Israel and the Antichrist. 3.5 years, he will usher himself into that temple and he'll say, I'm God. Kill them all. Slay them all. There will be an unleashing of that. The Bible talks about the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo will be the battle place of finality. The Bible says that all the nations of the earth will come and they will come to annihilate Israel. The Bible says in that moment, Zechariah said, as lightning cometh out of the sky, the nation will look and they will see the Lord Jesus and they will respond with faith. And the Bible says that out of his mouth will go a sharp sword and there will be a bloodbath. Now, you've probably living in the city never seen a real horse, but it comes up to the bridle of the horse. The Bible says prior to that, an angel will stand on the precipice of the earth and say, come! All the fowls of the air to the great feast. And from every corner of the world, the birds will come to the Valley of Megiddo and they will dip their beak in the blood of those folks and they will suck and feed as a feast set before them. And King Jesus will be victor. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. The rest of the chapter is phenomenal. I can't wait to preach it. We should go eat lunch and everybody come back at 2 o'clock and we'll have a service. Pastor, what do I take away from here today? You better take away from here today that even though the world looks like it's out of control, God has the whole world in his hands. Even though Jesus looks like he's been defeated, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You better understand that this Bible is absolute truth. My hope is anchored in it. It's not time for you to go be a doomsday prepper. I love the show. It's funny. You can buy a tiny house if you want to go solarize your life. You know, the Bible says there'll be no sun at the end of that. What are you going to do when there's no sun? You can buy all the seed you want to buy. But nothing grows if God doesn't want it to grow. Do whatever you want to do. I refuse to do that. I want to stand on the promise of the book. I'm not a doomsday prepper. I'm a child of the living God. He'll take care of me. And stop believing these people that got you so worked up that there's this big storm, earthquake, or Ebola, or world war. Jesus said those things are going to happen. That's not the end. Don't be troubled about that. We're going home. We're going home. We have to be raptured, or the wicked one can't even be revealed. I don't think you realize what a mighty force God's people are. See, I heard somebody say something. I heard President Obama say, if I ran a third term, I could get reelected. I believe that 100%. If the man ran again, the world would vote for him. What's happening in our world is that it's being positioned now so it could be transferred into what these end times are talking about. But I got news for you. The problem of the world are not because we have the wrong leaders. The Bible says we get leaders that God gives us. President Obama is God's man for God's time. You don't have to believe that. It's in the book. The problem isn't that. The problem is God's people are so weak. And our churches are filled with people that are religious, but they're not saved. Our church is filled with people that are filled with fear and not faith. And so the swing that is happening is not because evil is triumphing. It's because we are weakening. And Jesus said, now he who letteth is restraining until he be taken out of the way. But you can already see as the church weakens how the evil is just coming. So we're all upset about a man killing a lion. I don't want to kill a lion. I don't want the lion to kill me. But they're killing our babies. No, where's Hollywood saying, why are you killing our babies? Africa wants our man to be returned so they can punish him for killing a lion. Our government celebrates the murder of our children, the sale of their bodies. Evil is unleashing a tidal wave. And the church is weakening. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I got the book. And thank God he's victorious. What about your life? You don't know when your life will be over. You don't know when he's coming. Let's be right with God. Please be here next week. It gets even more awesome. Shall we pray?